The following audio track is taken from Dr. Congdon's talk at a dinner in Morro Bay, California.
He did some research and found that the newer washers don't use as much water when they wash and rinse. And a lot of the dyes that are in the detergents are stronger and brighter. And in fact, some of his patients say when they look in the dryer, it's coated with blue. So he is finding this more and more of an issue, and he wants me to spread the word. So dye in a detergent doesn't make it work better. and it all rinses, out or doesn't. So it doesn't add to the efficacy, the strength of the cleaning. So that's one thing he wanted to bring up, but he's seen this as a major deal. And he did some more research. We know from his prior research that the blue dye can get in the mitochondria and disrupt energy production. And his recent research has found that blue dye can actually kill mitochondria. So, and that makes us tired. So not only might we not be clearing as well, but it also makes us fatigued. So that was a big thing.
I use magnets in the dishwasher. Awesome. I mean, dishwasher in the washing machine.
Yeah.
And they work.
These are not blue.
No, okay. No, they are blue, but they don't have a blue dye.
The other thing we talked about is that the patent that Mucinex had has expired. It would be interesting to see what happens with the different and new guaifenesin. I just saw it available at Safeway, which is a big store and big chain in Northern California. And a lot of people buy it at Walmart. It's made available by a company, I think, called Beckett Renkhouser, which is a British firm. And then they sell it to all these different places. It's available on Amazon and Walmart. But one thing that you have to watch is that Walgreens and a lot of other places that sell it, increasingly it has blue dye. So you really have to watch that.
And it's visible? I mean, it's coated? Yeah. You can see it?
Well, sometimes it's very subtle. So you really have to look on the label.
It will say the ingredient.
Yeah. Inactive ingredients. And so before you buy it online, make sure you see a total list of ingredients. And before you buy it, if you buy it at Walgreens or something, you gotta flip it over before you buy it.
What does the blue dye do? Why would they put it in?
Well, it makes it more like Mucinex. People are used to that visualization. Mucinex has that blue dye in it.
I see.
So compare to Mucinex. That's what the boxes say. Blue is pretty. That's why it's probably in the detergents, right? These were interesting things. Let's see. I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on in my world. There is a researcher at Stanford, Dr. Kevin Grimes, and he works in the SPARK group. That's all capital, SPARK. And their group at Stanford gets money to take a look at old drugs and see if they can be repurposed to help many people at a lower cost. And so guaifenesin fits perfectly into that category. And the reason I learned about him is one of my patients' husband is a physician, and he works at Stanford in their gifts department. And so we went and talked to him. He's also an internist. And he was interested, but then nothing happened, and kept emailing him back. And he said, he'd started one of his patients on guai. And I was like, oh, great. All right. But he hasn't asked me about the protocol. He hasn't read the book. And so I wrote him an email back saying, oh, that's great. If she needs any help finding products that don't block, rifampicin like all toothpaste except for the, and he was like, oh. So anyway, so he wasn't quite on board, and then so I kept nicely emailing him, and so did my patient's husband, and then all of a sudden, I guess it was about 6 months ago, he said, I would like to work with one of my researcher friends in Alabama who does mass spectrometry to study the effect guaifenesin has on the immune system.
Oh, great.
So he said, send me some raw guaifenesin powder, which Jim from the Fiber Pharmacy did, and guaifenesin with the tablets. And so that's what they've just started doing right now. So we might actually get a study published that shows guaifenesin has an action. I mean, we all know it does. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the 2008 study that the City of Hope did, they studied all of the studies that are trying to, you know, work on a test for diagnosis are looking at chemokines and cytokines, which are immune system proteins, and how they are different and unique in people with fibromyalgia. And they studied people who'd been on guaifenesin for 4 months, and their levels of chemokines and cytokines changed. Some went up, some went down. So we knew in 2008 that guaifenesin had an action on immune system cells. So it would be great if Dr. Grimes' research could also show that, because then it wouldn't be kind of be buried in the City of Hope study on chemokines and cytokines. It could be why. So if somebody Googles, they don't just see the Dr. Bennett study that, you know, is flawed, but they would see something about, you know, the positive actions that we all, you know, Gwai has. So that's very exciting.
What was that doctor's name?
His name is Kevin Grimes, G-R-I-M-E-S.
And what aged man is he?
Is this a young man who has curiosity?
He's younger than me. I'm 61. I think he's probably 50-ish. Yeah.
So he'll be around a while.
Not everybody's like Dr. St. Amon.
Immortal. So, I recently did a podcast. There was a woman with fibromyalgia who runs a company called Wellacopia, which matches people who are ill with practitioners who can help them. And she has a lot of people with fibromyalgia, and she asked me to join, and then she interviewed me for Wellacopia, and then she was like, wait a minute, I'd like you to do a podcast. She and this other woman take turns interviewing someone. So I did a podcast on Invisible Not Broken, that's what it's called, and it was interesting and a little bit scary, but she says it's doing better than any of their other podcasts on iTunes. So it's,
really?
It's kind of a lot.
You think somebody else has fibromyalgia out there?
Right. And I got my first patient because they heard the podcast. So, as opposed to Dr. St. Amon, people come to him because they've read his book or they've heard about him. Of my new patients, 5% or less have heard of him. So they hear of me from my documentary, which is on YouTube, that Lynn von Weber was in. And that it's been, what was it, almost? Like 4 years ago.
I had short hair then.
And I made the documentary as a thank you to Dr. St. Amon. I wanted to do that before the funeral, right? You know, to thank him and to be a way for people who maybe weren't quite ready to read a whole book to watch a 30-minute video and get to know a little bit about what fibromyalgia is. It has boys and girls, men and women, and stories, you know, of them finding why and their recovery. And it's called Getting Our Lives Back, Success Stories on the Guaifenesin Program. I was also a group that's doing a film on fibromyalgia came to my office about a year and a half ago and videotaped me mapping one of the filmmakers. The film is called Invisible, Not Broken. Oh, sorry. The film is called Invisible, the Film. All these invisible
things. I know. Because we're so invisible.
And I just talked to the filmmakers and told them I was coming to Morbe. I was going to speak, and I wanted to find out what's going on. They're in post-production, and he says that I will be in the film because I am mapping one of the producers. And so that it'll be very interesting to see. Hopefully they will say nice things about the protocol and not just look at this crazy person, you know, touching things that she thinks she feels.
Did she have?
I can't tell you.
Oh, all right.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Of course you are.
That's a good question, though. But what you can do, if you Google Invisible the Film, you can request a screening in your city where they will come and show it. And you can donate to the post-production costs, etc. But they are very nice group, and they're following five people and their journey to get treatment for fibromyalgia. And then I just heard from a patient about a psychiatrist at Stanford named Dr. David Siegel, who's doing work on people with fibromyalgia, decreasing pain through hypnosis. And what he does is he sees you in the office, and then if you qualify, he sends you home with a little Alexis that has his voice, and he will do hypnosis. And I guess that so far he is seeing good results. So he is enrolling patients in his study. So I send out frequent newsletters, and I'll put information in my newsletter. I'm going to go see him as a patient to see what it's all about.
Wow.
She tries everything first.
And I'm interested in doing a TEDx talk because I think that would be a way to really reach a lot of people. So that would be a way I think to spread the word. And I'm going to hire a professional who help you, pay him a fee, and he will teach you how to organize your TED talk so it's more likely to get approved.
Yes.
I think that sounds like fun. And let's see what else. The new book is out. And so far, we like it. And it's going to be the last edition because Dr. Santa Monza is not going to write anymore. One thing he and I talked about is I now have three people who have blocked on Tom's of Maine cinnamon toothpaste. And I know it's Tom's of Maine because the only thing that they stopped was that, and then I remapped them and they were making progress. And he said that since Tom's of Maine was sold to, I think it's now Colgate or one of the big groups, they don't have oversight into how much of the plant extracts they put in the toothpaste. And Dr. St. Amand says that he's recommending to his patients that they only use if they use Tom's of Maine, only the little kid, which is allegrados or still a strawberry or which is sad because I use the anti-plaque and whitening fennel, and he said, well, if you think about it, it doesn't take that much fennel in the toothpaste to block if it's in you know, fennel oil, and it's going right into the mucous membrane. So we really, really have to be careful with our toothpaste. And he said that he likes, he really likes the Clior citrus. And so I have a little gift for Rachel. I'm so grateful for all Rachel does. So I got this at the Fiber Pharmacy.
Why the citrus in particular, though?
He says that to him it tastes most like mint. It gives him the most clean feeling of any of the toothpaste that he thinks are okay. And then for you to wash your hands after you mat patients. And I also, because hands get chapped after we wash our hands, so I bought this at the Fiber Pharmacy, as I told you, and then, of course, before I would ever use it or give it to someone, I would check the ingredients, even from the Fiber Pharmacy, and here we have sunflower seed oil. You guys probably know that the Fiber Pharmacy, Jim sold it a year and a half ago. He now does only the online stuff, so he does not have oversight with what is sold there. So that's another thing I need to put in my newsletter. So if your husband would like to use this, then that's fine. And so that is something in the book that I bet Dr. St. Amand wished that he could write more about, because on page 85, he talks about Tom's of Maine, all of the flavors are fine that are non-mint, so that's now.
And you know, I was checking about that particular toothpaste, the citrus, because I like it.
Yes.
But after I bought it, I went and looked on the support from Dr. St. Amand's office, and Claudia says very distinctly, only the unflavored.
Only
the unflavored toothpaste is okay. And I checked that recently, because I just sent my two tubes of citrus back to them.
Oh, back to Clior?
Yes, because there was, Clior said, Dr. St. Amand says it won't make a problem on their website.
Yes.
And then on the support group website, Claudia says only, unless she hasn't updated it, only the unflavored is okay.
That she probably hasn't updated it. Mm-hmm. All of the Clior products are fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. None of them block. And you know, you have to really be careful with cinnamon, because cinnamon can mask a mint. And mint's a flavor, it doesn't have to be listed in ingredients. And so that's one of the biggest blockers that I find. Anyone have any other questions?
I do.
Yes, go ahead.
I didn't put this in my book. Come and tell me if I'm wrong. In the new book?
Yes.
Since I've been reading the other book. But anyways, my mass cell book. Is the easy checklist not in the new book?
Claudia's quick check? I haven't read that in the back of the new book.
What is the question?
Is the quick check around? So so Claudia's quick check, and I give this to all my patients to take a photo of, because it's so helpful. I think that one of the problems with the book is it can get buried in there. So that's why, I mean, it's on the website. It's on his website.
Yeah, and that's a good checklist.
It's a really good checklist. Other things, anybody? Yeah, go ahead.
I know some of us here, we all kind of think it's friends and families or it's heredity. But really, idea how much anything about how often it goes down in families?
Yes. You're 8.5 times more likely to have fibromyalgia if you have a first degree relative with it. And that's huge. If you have a first degree relative with lupus or rheumatoid arthritis, you're 2 times more likely to have it for the general population. So 8.5 is huge. And if a mother and father have fibromyalgia, then all of their children will. Some of them will not be symptomatic, but they will all have it. So, and Dr. Sainamon and I see many generations. He's seen four generations, I've seen three, and one thing we were talking about is if I see it work in one person in the family, then it helps everyone that's genetically related to them. Yeah.
You mean?
So guaifenesin doesn't help everyone. We're not sure why. It helps most people feel better as they decrease their nodules, but there's some people at a year of good clearing, they don't feel better. And why is this? Because they might have obstructive sleep apnea, and you know, I have this checklist that I go through. Okay, what about your thyroid, things like that. But it's possible, probably genetics, that it just doesn't help everybody for whatever reason. But if it helps you, then everyone genetically related to you, it will help them. That's what I found.
And we're talking grandchildren, great-grandchildren, right. Exactly. It goes down the line.
Absolutely.
After a year or 2 years, if they're not feeling better, is that when you start making adjustments to the dose? We used to see if it's the wrong dose.
Yes, there are a lot of things we do, but we're making adjustments all the time. Number one, to make sure that people's nodules are decreasing steadily. Absolutely. And make sure that if they are carbon tolerant, that they're following the HG diet. Because no matter how much your nodules decrease, if you're carbon tolerant and you're not following the HG diet, you're not going to feel well. And also, I have never found anyone with fibromyalgia who feels better unless they get consistent aerobic exercise. It's just so important. And so I start my patients out slow, movement, just movement, and then gentle walking or whatever they would like to do. So these are all the things that, you know, Dr. Sainamon and I are checking to make sure that these basic things are being followed. Go ahead.
Another question. If as we start out as young children, we may not have symptoms, and then is it more that at a certain point we reach our phosphate tipping point, and is there a certain age when a majority or more people, because I don't think I had any symptoms as a child, and I wonder about other people, is it when we get in our 20s or 30s?
Well, the average age of diagnosis is about 55, but most people have had symptoms for a lot longer. And when I take a look at my new patients, a lot of them have had headaches or irritable bowel symptoms when they were late teens or early 20s. So that's probably when it first started. And I find that there are two presentations. Like me, slowly worsening symptoms over time, or somebody, boom, crashes. And crashes are most often after the death of a loved one, after a bad car accident, or after the birth of a child. So, sounds like a problem. Or driving on the LA freeway. But, you know, trauma happens to a lot of people. So unless you have the genetic predisposition for fibromyalgia, you're not going to develop it, right? Or we would all have it. So does that?
Yeah, that's where. Did you want to say something about like hands?
Oh, yes. Yes. And so what Dr. Sainamon and I have found is that once you start clearing on guaifenesin, progression of osteoarthritis stops. Everybody with fibromyalgia develops osteoarthritis over time. If you take a look at the spine x-rays of 20-year-olds with fibromyalgia, they're starting to get osteoarthritis. So this is just another benefit. Not only will you feel well, but you won't get osteoarthritis. And I was working out at our community center the other day, and I saw this woman walking to the car, and she was limping. And I said, oh, she has arthritis. I'm like, and I'll never get that. Now, rheumatoid arthritis, that's different. That's autoimmune. We're talking about osteoarthritis. And it's been so interesting for me as I'm out in the world. I saw someone at a party, and she's about my age, and I saw she had osteoarthritis. And so a group of us were talking, and she came up to me later, and she said, can I ask you a question? And I said, yes, do you want to ask me a question about your chronic pain? And she was like, how do you know? And I said, because you have fibromyalgia. I can see it. She says, yes, I do. So it's really interesting to think, as we're out in the world and see people with osteoarthritis, that, you know, it's probably 10% of the population has fibromyalgia. And, you know, we have the opportunity to educate and to help treat people and to, you know, not only prevent illness, but prevent arthritis or stop its progression.
Yeah, because my hands are disfigured already and there's no reversing that. But they've improved since November, which is about halfway. And that was when I started Silver Sweepers, which is a class for seniors at the YMCA. And I go regularly, and it's a lot of flexibility, strength, and balance. But I can do gentle yoga now, and I can do the plank to the count of 30.
And
I couldn't
your
do
one
that
year
on these hands.
Is today's your 1 year anniversary?
And today's my 1 year anniversary. Yeah.
Yes. Other questions? Yes, go ahead.
Can you compare the muscles in a person with fibromyalgia to a person who doesn't have fibromyalgia to a person who's cleared their fibromyalgia? And for the person that's cleared, is there anything they can do to get their muscles back to what it's like a normal person?
That's very interesting. So a couple of studies have been done. People with fibromyalgia have had biopsies done of their thigh muscle, and they found the mitochondria, the energy powerhouses of the cell. There are fewer of them, and what is there is shriveled.
Is what?
Shriveled and doesn't work.
Shriveled.
Exercise can help those mitochondria work better and proliferate. There was also, and this is described in the book, there was a Swedish study where they biopsied normal shoulder muscle compared to swollen shoulder muscle. Presumably that was in a nodule, right? That's why it was swollen. Mm-hmm. And there was like 3 times less ATP in the swollen. So when we get are rid of the excess phosphate that is in all the cells in our body, including muscle cells, then they work better. And when we exercise, we build more mitochondria. So those are the things that we know. I would love to somehow biopsy a nodule or, you know, see what's in there. That would be really cool. But that hasn't been done yet.
We have a volunteer.
Yeah, I would volunteer also. My pet rock that I have on my shoulders. Biopsy that.
Would you repeat your comment about aerobic exercise and the protocol?
Yes. So Dr. St. Amand and I have not seen anyone with fibromyalgia who feels well unless they get consistent aerobic exercise. And he defines that as 20 minutes at least 4 times a week. And the 20 minutes can be split up. It can be 10 minutes or even 5 minutes at a time. And I remember when I first started the protocol and I was so sick, and we live up 70 stairs, so I wasn't about to, So I walked in our house and I timed myself on the microwave clock and I swore it was broken because it was going so slow. But if you start low and go slow, then you can build up your time. The chronic fatigue literature talks about energy envelope is the envelope that we can exercise in without feeling worse. And people with fibromyalgia and people with active virus in the system, they have a very narrow and brittle energy envelope. And if you do too much, you break through the energy envelope and it constricts down. And so that's why when you're first starting to exercise, you really have to do it slowly and then build up. Any other questions?
I think one time when I talked to Dr. St. Amon and I told him about the Silver Sneakers class, he says heat really responds. The guaifenesin responds to heat. It can be a hot bath, a hot shower, a heating pad, and exercise, because exercise creates heat in the body.
Absolutely.
So that plays into what he said, 20 minutes of aerobics.
20 minutes of aerobics. And
that reminds me, when you mentioned hot bath, I had a doctor, I asked a doctor about, not Dr. St. Amon,
yes,
about magnesium bath.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, it's probably not the magnesium that helps, it's probably the hot water.
Mm-hmm. I think it's both. And magnesium is my patient's favorite supplement other than guaifenesin. And when I talk about decreasing pain and improving sleep, the first thing I do is have them soak in 2 cups of Epsom salts per night. And Epsom salts has magnesium in it, it's absorbed in the body, and the hot water. It's important to go to bed warm, with your muscles warm. You don't want to be cold as you're trying to fall asleep. And the warm bath with the Epsom salts really helps people fall asleep more quickly, and maybe even get a little bit more deeper sleep and be in less pain at night.
And is it my imagination then that when I take the hot bath with the magnesium and baking soda, which I put in, do I pee more at night? Is there a relationship?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the heat would increase your metabolism.
That's true.
So it would go through, whatever fluid is in you would go faster.
I have to do a study.
Okay.
Yes, you should research that.
Oh,
you
research.
Should research that.
I'll get back to you.
But I want to thank Rachel so much for inviting me.
Yay. Thank you, Rachel.
Yes.
And then I just have a little announcement. I have a lovely assistant and receptionist, Genesee, who lives in Southern California, so she works remotely. We are bringing on Lynn Bever as our health educator. So Lynn has been, neither Genesee nor myself are HG. We haven't been on the food plan. Lynn knows the food plan like the back or vegetable. And she's been on the protocol and has been such a wonderful educator on Facebook. And so
yes,
thank you. So we're now trying to envision the way the practice will work. I think that just like with Dr. St. Amon, I'll start out making the diagnosis, and again, my patients haven't read the book. I give them the book and they don't know anything about the protocol. So the first visit, talk about fibromyalgia after I've mapped them. And then if they're HG, that's where Lynn takes over. Studies have shown that coaching is so successful in decreasing doctor visits, decreasing pain, helping people do better, because you can break things down for them and help them take baby steps and help explain things. So Lynn will be available to my patients after that one appointment for, you know, follow through for it as long as they want. And I'm thrilled to have the help and to
have people. Thank you.